Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, February the 10th. And today we're going to check with our good friend, George Rodriguez. We normally like to do this on Sunday, but Sunday night, my friend George and I are going to be Super Bowl concentrated. So we're not going to be interested in talking on Sunday night.
It's a religious experience.
Yes, that's right. So we're kind of speeding it up a little bit and doing it on Friday. But as always, it's a great honor to have you. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much.
Well, I have to tell you that, you know that song, Up, Up and Away and My Beautiful Balloon? We got a few too many balloons here lately. Now we just shot another one over Alaska, and I was watching the news, and I understand that the senator from Alaska, the lady senator, Jankowski, is that her name?
Murkowski.
Yes, right. She was furious. She was saying, you know, why did you let the first balloon go into over my state? And then John Tester, the Democrat from Alabama, was furious that it flew over Montana, the last one, that is. So here we have another balloon. I'm glad we shot it down. Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad we didn't let it travel throughout the whole country. But George, it worries me a little bit. What is China up to? Or,
exactly.
You know, I guess we can speculate, but maybe they're just testing us. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you know, it's probing. I mean, literally, you've got to consider it probing. I mean, trying to find a weakness, trying to push the envelope. This kind of situation is very, very troublesome. We know that the Chinese are up to no good. I mean, that's the bottom line. They are not backing down in any form or fashion, and they certainly see the present administration as a punching bag, as weak, and it really worries me what they're up to right now.
Well, another interesting thing too, George, is that when they were doing the White House press briefing today, the White House did not initiate the information. It was the press secretary, not the regular one, but the gentleman from the Pentagon who comes over once in a while. And he was talking about something else. And then a reporter said, can you confirm that a balloon was shot over Alaska? And he said, yes. So had that reporter...
Did that question not come up, would they have said it?
Which is the same thing that happened with the other one. But I think it's the Chinese poking a little bit. That's what I think it is.
Definitely.
Now, in all fairness, we don't know if the second balloon was actually from China, but, you know, as they say, if it's white and flies over the United States, it's very likely coming from China, because it looks a lot like the other one.
And they have admitted that there have been other balloons from China that have flown over us, and nothing has been said by the Pentagon about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very, very troublesome. I mean, the thing that I thought about immediately was the number of times that Japanese submarines had been seen off of Pearl Harbor prior to December 7th. This is not good. This is not good.
You know, that's a great historical memory there, because you're exactly right. I mean, there were Japanese subs coming close to Pearl Harbor, and they were kind of dismissed. But you can never dismiss anything when you're dealing with an adversary. You got to be always on guard. And I don't know what message you delivered to China, but it might, you know, it seems like we get angry, we shoot it down.
It has got to be a strong one eventually. The other thing, let me tell you, I attended a luncheon with Sheriff Coe, Brad Coe from Kenney County down near Del Rio, who has become one of my closest friends. And he is very, very, he was very upset at the number of Chinese illegal right. aliens that have been picked up lately.
Right. Now, I saw that. I saw now, that. You posted about that, right? Yeah, you posted about that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. When you've got Chinese coming across and then you've got a balloon floating over, balloons floating over. I'm sorry. We need to start worrying about this. We need to take this matter yeah. serious.
We do. And I think we have to send the message that you do not come into the United States, whether it's by air in a balloon or walk. I mean, there has to
walking
be a sense.
The river.
Yeah. There has to be a sense of, hey, you know, we're serious about this. And you're right. We're not. And again, I think that's a great point you made about the Japanese submarines back in 19 and before Pearl Harbor, because they were sort of like testing and looking and to see where the ships were and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's a great point. But I can only tell you that it's like all of a sudden balloons mean something else than they used to.
Yes.
You know, it used to be balloons where, I guess, for parties or anniversaries or
some clown would bring it to you. Of course,
yeah.
I'm scared now, to death of clowns. So.
Right, exactly. Now, all of a sudden, every time you see a balloon, you think it might be a Chinese balloon, which is kind of sad.
Clown.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's just weird. Well, we had a State of the Union address this week, George. I'm sure you remember that. And a couple of thoughts before I get your feedback. 23 million people saw this. It was the smallest audience in 30 years. That is a sign that obviously a lot of people were not rushing home to watch this thing, which I think tells you a lot about it. You know, the lack of, I guess, the lack of energy in this administration. But I thought overall, George, and I want to get your thoughts on this, but I thought overall the speech was too political. You know, the Constitution gives the president a golden opportunity. Now, it wasn't always obviously on television, but you know, in the last 30 or 40 years, it has been, maybe longer. But it's a great opportunity to get an hour of free time, an hour and a half, where you speak to the country as the president. And it's you and the people, and well, through the Congress, of course. And it's a great opportunity for the president to be presidential, to be honest and to recognize some mistakes and praise people who have done well. And I thought in this address, he was not presidential in the sense that he did not talk about a lot of problems. And then when he said that about Social Security, that I thought that was way over the top, unnecessary. And I think overall, I just don't think it did a lot of good for him, George.
Well, again, what we need to remember is that the whole idea to the Constitution is for the people, the American people, the citizen, to hold power, and in many cases, to prevent government from doing things, because the fear is that government will become an entity to itself and do things. Now, what I keep hearing from this administration is that they don't have the power now, the control of the House by the Republicans, that they're not going to be able to do this, they're not going to be able to do that. Well, you know, first of all, to the ordinary citizen, it should occur to them that perhaps we don't need government to do everything. The second thing was his tone. He was screaming at times. I mean, and I thought to myself, what is this all about? I mean, because you scream doesn't make you more factual. It doesn't make you more likable, certainly. And then, of course, like you said, the politics into it. I mean, accusing the Republicans of wanting to do away with Social Security, making comments about the police. I mean, the politicalization of the whole thing.
Right.
You're right. I mean, he should have taken this. I mean, he calls himself, of course, he's the second one. Obama called himself that, mm-hmm. but the great unifier. What is unifying about this whole, you know, this attack, this screaming that he does at the podium, and then no sooner does that happen than the past 2 days he's been on the road attacking more,
right?
Making more attacks, and you know, it was very, very, it's very, very disturbing. It's very, very disappointing
I
for him
so,
to
yeah.
be the commander in chief.
agree. And I was very disappointed. For example, a lot of the things that he didn't talk about. He didn't talk about the crime in the cities. He didn't talk about the stress that the police is under or the Border Patrol agents. And I keep thinking, maybe I live in a unreal world. But what if he had said, George, what if he had said, look, I want to apologize to that fellow down on the border, that Border Patrol agent on horse.
Yeah.
That he was accused of doing something he didn't do. So I want to apologize to him and his fellow workers. What if he had said, I want to congratulate the states of Texas and Florida for having opened their economies. And by doing so, they, in a sense, they were the locomotive of the economic recovery. Now, a lot of people would say, well, but that's praising the Republicans, but that's what the president does.
I mean, it's the state of the union. It is not the Democratic Party.
Well, that's correct. And he is speaking as the president.
Correct.
This is not a Democrat fundraiser. I mean, it's a state of the union. So I think he would have been a lot better off doing stuff like that and certainly would have disarmed some of his critics when, you know, he would say something like that. Even his failure to talk about the, you know, the border and the fentanyl coming over. I mean, we've had a terrible tragedy. I don't know if you guys heard about this down there, but there's a local school here, not far from where I am, a local school where there was a couple who was arrested for peddling the fentanyl. And there have been several young people who have died or have gotten very sick from it. And it's a real terrible local story. And so this really brings it home, this fentanyl problem. But he didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about the border. He didn't talk about the crime. And you're sitting there going, you know, what the heck is going on here?
Exactly.
And so
where's
I felt
reality in this talk?
That's it.
Where was the reality in the whole thing? The other thing is he practically broke his arm patting himself on the back about the economy. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I filled up my truck again a little while ago, and it was $120. And, you know, the other day I went to the grocery store, and clearly orange juice is almost twice as what it used to be. Eggs, of course, everybody talks about that. I mean, everything at the grocery store is almost twice as much as it was 2 years ago. And if he thinks that asking the rhetorical question, are you better off, is going to get a good answer, let me tell you, between the crime and the inflation and the border, and now we've got balloons flying over. So, these things are things that the State of the Union address should have addressed.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And I'll tell you something about inflation. I was talking to Telemundo today, and they mentioned inflation, or they said, you know, what could he do to control inflation? And I said, well, he better do something about gasoline, because the most inflationary item here is the price of gas. If gasoline, I mean, I've seen here in the Dallas area over the last couple of weeks, gasoline go from $2.89 to $3.09. Now, that's a 20-cent increase. But that is highly inflationary when you digest that.
It really
is.
I mean, everything we do in this economy requires transportation, and transportation depends on the petroleum industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So every truck you see out there delivering, every automobile that you see out there moving, the buses, the airplanes, everything is some kind of fuel. And I mentioned today that if the price of gasoline, again, in the context of inflation, if the price of gasoline, let's say, went up to $3.25 or $3.30 by the summer, you can forget about the inflation.
Exactly.
I mean, because the inflation is not going away as long as the gasoline prices are unstable.
Okay. And the other thing on the economy, and you mentioned that, you know, he should have thanked Governor of Florida and Texas. But the fact of the matter is that so much of the new employment, or the current we should call it re-employment, are people getting back into the workforce after COVID. It's not that new jobs are being created, right. Although they do say that new jobs are being created. They're not being created. They're right. they are being refilled.
Right. No, I think you're right. I mean, a lot of it is people going back because the checks have stopped. So people have got to go back to work. And they may be new jobs in the sense they took a different job. Okay, so for example, if you were working for a restaurant before and now you're working for a factory, that is technically a new job, but it's the same person who is working. So it's not quite the same thing. So yeah, I just felt the State of the Union was a mistake. And I don't think, honestly, that he got much. Well, let's get into a couple of areas here quickly. School choice is happening. It seems like just about every
Everywhere.
See a new story about school choice. And I'm hoping that it happens in Texas. And I think the governor is committed to it. The lieutenant governor is committed to it. And I think we can pull it off. Now, as you know, that school choice comes in many forms. You got vouchers, you've got charter schools, you have other things. I actually don't care about the details as long as something like school choice happens. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Yeah. So they're in Austin right now in the legislature. I saw something the other day in the news that the Democrat caucus says said that they are not going to give money to religious schools or private schools. Well, I mean, let the parents choose.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, what this really, this voucher movement tells you truly is that it's a comment on the state of affairs of public education, that so many people want to pack up and leave it. And again, this is one of those messages that apparently the Democrats just are tone deaf.
Right. That's right.
They continue to fund, and their answer for everything is more funding, more funding,
right.
More funding. And the only people that are getting rich off apparently are the consultants and the bureaucrats within the I call it the education industry. It is very, very obvious because now you're seeing a lot of teachers leaving public education. And again, the reason that they're leaving is because there's no discipline. There is no, everything has become woke.
Right.
And, you've got today's story about a mother that found out that one of her daughter was being allowed to transition to male. And she didn't even know about it.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out how does a public school allow that and let it happen? I mean, how do they encourage that?
Well, and George, obviously I don't have, kids at that age anymore, but when I had kids in school, and by the way, the schools they went to were excellent, the teachers were excellent, but it seems to me that it was a different time, and I'm only talking 20 years ago.
Yes,
because,
it was.
I mean, it's not like I'm talking, 100 years ago, it's 20 years ago, but it seems like the teachers that were teaching my kids, and I had the chance to get to know many of them, because most of them lived in the area. It was that's the way it was. You went to a little league. It was some
neighborhood
year.
School. You went
yeah.
to a neighborhood school, and the neighborhood was full of families that watched over their kids.
Exactly, and
as
the teachers.
To
I always felt that every one of the teachers was so committed to not just education in the general sense, but they were really committed to the kids. And I can guarantee you that not one of them would have dared do this gender thing with one of my kids.
Yeah.
They would have said, no, I'm not doing that. That's not for me to do. That's for the parents to do. So now you've got this situation. How arrogant, George, can a teacher be, or can a school district be, or a principal or whatever,
yeah.
to think that they could get away with that?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, what are they thinking? The other
Absolutely.
Situation was a situation we had recently in Virginia where a six-year-old shot a teacher.
Right.
Again, the kid was already, everybody already knew, had already spotted him for being emotionally disturbed. But again, because of wokeness, the child was allowed to continue just like he's normal.
Right.
You know?
No, I agree.
It's incredible.
I agree. How a kid got a gun into the school, that's another question
yeah.
that I like to know. How do you get a gun into a school? That's another. You know, they keep talking about new gun control laws. Why don't we enforce the ones we have?
Or control the kids.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But you know what's funny? Getting back to the teachers again, when I talk to a lot of teachers, over and over, they come back to this discipline issue that you brought up. And over and over, they keep coming back to the idea that it seems like most of these kids, if they have parents, both parents are working sometimes, or many of them are in one-parent families, and there's a lack of discipline overall, a lack of discipline. And the school, instead of supporting the teacher, they're scared to death of one of these woke lawyers.
Exactly.
Coming after them.
There you go.
And many of these teachers are leaving, like you say. Teachers are, and we're losing a lot of quality teachers, I think.
And again, you know, the ultimate question for me, and this is going to sound very, very right-wing, but the ultimate point for me is I don't have any kids in public schools, as well as in the local public school district, as well as I don't want to support it because I don't believe in the curriculum. I don't believe how it's being driven. So why are my taxes being forcibly taken from me and given
right.
to the local public school district? In my opinion, you know, it's time for me, if I want to give to education, I should be able to have on my tax. Do I want to give it to as a voucher so that it can be used by the state as vouchers, or do I want to give it to the local public schools?
Right. Or you contribution directly to it. Like if you don't have kids,
right.
Just make a contribution directly to a school.
Exactly.
You know, directly. I agree. I think this is the way to go. And the other day, Dr. Bennett, and I think I mentioned this the last time, Dr. Bennett was on TV, and he was saying, we're killing public education with these idiotic things that are happening. And he's exactly right. More and more parents are moving out of public education, and a lot of the school choice movement is a consequence of that.
Ultimately, Silvio, ultimately, we see quite often on a lot of shows, like on some of the Fox programs, as well as News and Expert, where somebody will go out into the community, out into the street, and talk to young people, like at spring break, and ask them a simple question, you know, who did the United States declare its independence? And they don't know.
They don't know. You're right. The ignorance is unbelievable. Well, George, a couple of quick points here before we talk about the Super Bowl. A couple of quick points to get us to the Super Bowl. Interesting article that came out last week in the New York Times, and I've got a post about this coming out Saturday morning, where they got together, the New York Times brought a bunch of Democrats. They didn't reveal their names, but, well, actually, Hillary Clinton did go on the record and say that she didn't think Kamala could win a primary, which is really fascinating. But a lot of Democrats are, let's say, a little bit uncomfortable with Kamala Harris. And it may very well be the only reason they don't use the 25th Amendment is Kamala Harris. Because a lot of them, and you know what, George, they should be concerned about her. And being, I mean, I know I'm a Republican and I didn't vote for her, but they should be concerned. This is a lady who doesn't seem to show any seriousness in her job. This is a lady who was given the opportunity of the century to do something. I mean, she was given one of the most contentious issues, the border. And she was given that issue to work with, and she hasn't taken any time to do it. You know, what if she had gotten serious about that issue? She could, you know, she could have enhanced her presidential credentials by getting serious about the border, because the border is not just a humanitarian crisis, but it's a national security crisis and everything else. So she could have enhanced her presidential image but she didn't. She has taken no interest in it. And whenever we see her on TV, she looks awfully foolish about talking about this and that, George. So I don't blame the Democrats for being uncomfortable, George.
The only thing that I can say about her is that I think that she is a product of affirmative action in the worst way. She is there not because of her smarts. She is there because of her gender and race. And it's quite evident that this person is not prepared. The Democrats, because they want to win, they are recognizing that this is not the winner. this is not the way. I mean, she was on Judy Woodruff on PBS 2 days ago, two nights ago. And literally Judy Woodruff at the very beginning of the interview asked her, a lot of us are worried about, I don't know who a lot of us is, but she said, a lot of us are worried about you. Are you okay? Well, what does that mean? That means that this, this lady needs to explain her right. behavior.
Well, that's right. And whenever you see her publicly, she just seems to be, you know, she's
fighting?
Not serious. Yeah, she's
fighting.
Not serious. She's laughing. She's got this crazy laughter that seems to go with her. I mean, there's something that concerns Democrats about her, and they should be. They should be concerned about her.
And the minute that you debate her, the minute that you criticize her, it's because of her
right.
race and gender.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
She accused Biden. She accused
yeah.
Biden of being racist.
That's right. Well, quick things here, George, before we go. February the 3rd, 1959, we mentioned this off the air. The day the music died, Ritchie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper were killed. I think for many in our generation, that came back, or it was brought to us really by that song American Pie
right.
in the early 1970s. But it got me very interested in Buddy Holly, that song. I've seen that movie, The Buddy Holly Story, which is fantastic, and I love his music. And, of course, Ritchie Valens was also killed that day. He was the first Mexican-American rocker, at least who was able to get hits on the radio. And was he popular in South Texas, Ritchie Valens?
Well, the only people that I can refer to is like my brothers and some sisters
right.
who were older than me. And, they really, really followed him. He was very, very popular as a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And many people really didn't even know that he was Hispanic because
right.
they didn't have pictures of him. They didn't have
right.
him on an album or something like that. It was in the days of 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was intentional marketing that way or whatever. But yeah, he was very, very popular. I mean, I remember everybody. I remember when it did happen. I must have been maybe 8 years old, and I remember at the breakfast table everybody talking about how sad
yeah.
it was that he had that him and the other two, both the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly, were from Texas. So there was
oh.
a big, big Texas connection on those two.
Oh, I didn't know the Big Bopper was. I knew that
was
Buddy Holly was from Lubbock. Yeah, I didn't
yeah,
know Big Bopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But Buddy Holly, I went to Lubbock a few years ago. With a friend of mine from Mexico. In fact, a friend of mine from Mexico called me up and said, look, I got to take a business trip to Lubbock, and I want you to go with me, help me translate. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. So we got to Lubbock, and we take a taxi to a lunch we're going to have. And I say to the taxi driver, I bet a lot of people ask you about Buddy Holly's grave. And the taxi driver says, you're right. You're right. In fact, I'll take you to it. So he drove us to the cemetery where there's the Buddy Holly grave. And, I thought that was, and then there's a museum, I understand, too, as well. So,
he married
yeah.
a Puerto Rican lady.
That's right. Maria Elena was
Maria
her
Elena.
Name, yeah,
right.
as I recall. Well, the other big news, of course, this week, George, and the reason we're doing this chat on Friday is because they're playing a game on Sunday. So
yeah.
did you hear about that game?
Yeah.
You heard about it, right?
It's Argentina versus the Philadelphia.
I think it's Argentina versus Italy or something like that. That's
the
big
Eagles.
Game.
I think they're playing the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, it's Kansas City, Philadelphia, in case you need to be reminded. And I'm going to go with Kansas City, I guess, because the quarterback is from Texas Tech. So I'm going to go with the local guy. I do think Kansas City is going to win. I think that Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. So I'm going to go with him. What about you?
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs because I went to school with Mike Reed. He is a BYU grad. He has won Super Bowls before. I'm going to go with him.
I actually didn't Reed win a Super Bowl with Philadelphia?
He did.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. When you said that he had won before, it reminded me that, yeah, he did win with Kansas City, but he had also won one before with Philadelphia. So he may be. This may be the first time ever, you know, there's always a first time for everything these days, but this might be the first time ever that one coach has coached both teams
in
to
both
a
divisions.
Super Bowl victory.
In two different divisions.
Yeah.
The AFC and then the NFC.
Right,
the other
yeah.
thing real quick, the other yeah. thing real quick is that last night Dak Prescott won the Walter Payton Award.
Yeah, yeah, the Walter Payton Award, yeah.
You know, I cannot think of a better person. I have followed Dak Prescott, not just because he's the Dallas Cowboy quarterback, but the things that he has done with his life and with his foundation, I really take my hat off to him.
No, I agree. In fact, I gained, I know he's had his problems on the field and it's not all his fault, but obviously when you're a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, they judge you by one thing, how many Super Bowls you won.
Exactly.
It's not fair, but that's the way it is.
Especially in Dallas.
That's it. Look, Tony Romo and Danny White were great quarterbacks, but they didn't win a Super Bowl.
They didn't win.
so you know, the fans around here can be that way. But I will say one thing about Doc that I was very impressed with something he did. Earlier in the season, or maybe during the training camp, but in the last year, somebody ran a hit piece on Jerry Jones. Somebody dug up this photo of Jerry Jones in 1957, I don't know.
He was at Little Rock High School.
Right. At Little Rock High School, and he was probably a teenager then, I guess. And somebody tried to say that this shows you that
he's
a racist. And they brought this up to Dak in a press conference to Dak Prescott. And he says, look, you know, I'm going to paraphrase. But if it looks, he says, look, this is in the past, and I believe in grace. I believe in moving on, sort of. And I was very impressed with that because he basically threw the thing right back at the reporter. The reporter was just looking for a hit job on Jerry Jones. And it's no coincidence that hit job came out after there was an announcement that Jerry Jones had contributed to the Greg Abbott campaign. I have no doubt that this is not a coincidence.
Greg Abbott is a Republican, and Republicans are racist.
Right. So I was very impressed with Dak and the posture that he took, because that is correct. That is correct. Well, it's 1957.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are we talking about? But, okay, George, so you and I are picking Kansas City. I hope that our political predictions turn out as good as those two.
I hope so, too.
All right. You have a great great weekend. I hope you don't eat too much. And we'll get back to Sunday. Yeah, we'll get back to Sunday, the Sunday after the Super Bowl, when no one knows what to watch. That's the crazy thing. The Sunday after the Super Bowl, everybody's like, what do we do today? What do we watch today?
Gosh, we'll have
a college basketball game. Well, not quite. All right, George, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
You too.
All right, our good friend George Rodriguez in South Texas is always chatting about the politics and, of course, having a little fun there with the Super Bowl. I do think Kansas City is going to win. They're not necessarily my team, but I think that I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, the Texas Tech quarterback, and I hope that he wins that game. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.